Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today's subject is men's health, particularly urological health when it comes to the prostate, the urinary tract. We've got an expert, America's foremost integrative urologist. He's Dr. Aaron Katz. He's a frequent contributor to Intelligent Medicine. He always brings us important updates from the world of integrative urology. And let us mention once again that there's an opportunity for you to attend a very informative upcoming men's health seminar that's going to be held on Long Island in New York, Garden City. Give us the details, Dr. Katz.
Yes, thanks again for having me, Ron. This year's men's health seminar will be on Saturday, June 13th, and it'll be at the Garden City Hotel. And you do need to register. The website is menshealthseminar.com. That's menshealthseminar.com. And it will be starting around 8 o'clock in the morning and running till 4, and we have a terrific panel scheduled for the morning. Actually, you're our leadoff batter this year, Ron, so we're really excited to hear your talk on the role of integrative health in modern-day healthcare, which I'm sure will be wonderful. And then there will be some panel discussions on different forms of cancers that affect men, specifically in the urinary tract, like bladder cancer, kidney and prostate cancer. And then we've done something unique in the in this year's seminar, and that's why I really need people to sign up, because it's filling up, is we have different tracks going on in the afternoon. So we have, let's say, at 1:30 we have a track on erectile dysfunction and prevention of other cancers, and then at 2 o'clock we have a BPH track, or men that have urinary symptoms, or we actually have a track at 2:45 on low testosterone. So there's, and then it's, you know, it goes on to the afternoon, and there's actually tracks on yoga, mind body stress reduction and relaxation techniques, and these are filling up rather quickly. So if you're listening, I think it's a wonderful gift if you want to give to yourself or to a loved one, or for dad. Just sign up today at the menshealthseminar.com.
Okay, great. So during the first part of the podcast, we talked a little bit about the prostate cancer. We talked about what we call, we used to call watchful waiting. Now we call it holistic surveillance.
Holistic surveillance.
And the key is active, because it means we're not just, you know, sitting around on our duffs waiting for the next shoe to fall.
Right.
We're actually doing a lot with men to help affect the course of their prostate cancer. And we know that there are many influences on prostate cancer that we can affect. So let's talk first a little bit about testosterone, then we'll get back to some of the things we can do about men who have early prostate cancer. Testosterone, big controversy. It's been back and forth this past couple of years, fast and furious, about some studies showing that testosterone therapy is dangerous for men, and that we shouldn't be prescribing it willy-nilly. And yet other studies saying, au contraire, testosterone is beneficial. It extends men's life. No, it's not true. It's bad for the heart. And so where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and it's hit big time. You know, I just came back from the major meeting in the Urology Association, and there were sessions that were dedicated just to the exact points you're bringing up, the pluses and the minuses. In fact, one session they had a bodybuilder there. This was in front of almost the entire AUA, so it was maybe 4,000 people in the audience, and they had his doctor talking about, you know, why he went on steroids and what did it do for his testosterone levels, and, you know, how is he feeling now that he's off of it, and what's going on in the gyms, and what's going on in this country, because it seems that a lot of the not only the pharmaceutical industry is very interested in this, but so is the whole area of compounded pharmacies, compounded testosterone supplements, and then all the pills and to boost your testosterone over the counter. My take on it is that obviously it's exploded, and there are many people that are abusing it, and many people are probably making money off of it, which is unfortunate, because I think it puts, first of all, a lot of young people at risk, young men that go on these testosterone to boost up their muscle mass. They wind up shrinking their testicles. You could wind up infertile. You know, as you say, one of the studies that have come out is on the risk of cardiovascular disease. We always thought that if you give someone testosterone, it will improve their cardiovascular health, but actually a large VA study showed differently. And then some other studies have shown that that's not the case. So I think with the cardiac issue, we're still unsure. as to, what it does seem is that if you have had a risk of cardiovascular events in the past, meaning you had a stroke or you had a bypass or an MI, those are the patients we have to be extremely careful about in giving testosterone to. In the younger male, I see in my practice, Ron, I'm sure you do as well, a lot of men in their early 50s and 60s, even 40s, that are low energy, have low libido, want to gain a little muscle mass, and those patients, I think it's appropriate to do a testosterone level and see what their level is. And, the cutoff right now appears to be around 300. And you want to get a testosterone, if you're going to do the level, get it done in the morning. That's when your testosterone is peaks. So, get a testosterone. And if it, I've seen guys that are, sluggish, they can't even get out of bed, and you get a testosterone and it's, around 150. And with supplementation, and there's a lot of different ways of replacing testosterone, you can certainly see a dramatic change in men in many ways in a short amount of time. Sometimes even within a month, you can boost someone's testosterone up, and
not just sexual. It's not. I mean that's one aspect
of it.
No,
it's a wake up. It's almost a wake up. It's almost an emotional lift. It should be done under the supervision of a physician. It should have testosterone levels. And then you have to go through the pluses and minuses of how you're going to give back testosterone. Right. Are you going to use a gel? There's an underarm spray. There are injections. There's pellets. Actually, at this meeting, they talked about a new form that will be you can use intranasally, like a something like that. So there's different forms coming down because there's a big demand for it. It seems to be the hot thing right now, testosterone replacement.
Yeah. Just don't blow your nose and leave the tissues around because your girlfriend might pick up the tissue and get an overdose of testosterone. You've got to watch out. Or your kids might get...
That won't be a good thing. That's
your kid
good.
Might get in the wastebasket. Right. Oh, boy, that's not good. So, the controversy about this heart thing, I looked at one of the major studies that raised the red flag about heart problems. And what they did is the VA study, and I know the VA.
The VA, yeah.
And the VA guys, they're generally, pretty sick. They don't take the best care of themselves. They're, sometimes smokers. They have the ones in the study who had advanced heart disease already. They also didn't get...
What the funny thing is, too, Ron? When we looked at that study, I think there were 20 people in the study that were actually women.
Oh, no. Well, they're vets. Yeah. I mean, it's an equal opportunity thing. So I don't know. Why were they getting testosterone replaced? I don't know. Who knows? But it's the VA. I mean, maybe it was a mix-up. So So what happens in a population like that, and some of them, they all got different types, I think, of testosterone. Some of them got testosterone injections, which I don't really favor that much because they raise blood counts. They don't really thick. That thickens the blood. Rarely. Sometimes I'll give testosterone injections to the men who really don't absorb it. But that calls that study into question. And then there are actually studies that were released right around the same time that showed, just like with the Women's Health Initiative, initially that study showed, that's causing women to get heart attacks. Then they looked at subtypes, women who were younger, healthier, and they found that indeed it was not causing increased heart risk, but might have been beneficial to the heart because we know that youthful hormones actually may promote circulation. So we kind of have a controversy.
It might also promote, weight reduction as well, And I'll tell you one of the
prevention of diabetes, right? That whole thing.
Yeah, and one of the other biggest predictors of a man's testosterone level is how obese he is, especially fat around the gut. If someone comes in with a big, belly, I can almost guarantee you that the testosterone is going to be suppressed because all those fat cells, convert the testosterone into forms of estrogen. And so that is key. And if a man starts to lose weight and exercise just naturally, you can raise your testosterone level.
Right, and actually, this actually happens. I see this sometimes.
First thing that I try to tell these guys.
Right, we sometimes do see men who are like kind of sad sack guys, you know, with a big gut, tired, exhausted, and we say, oh, you know, we actually look at free testosterone, which I'm sure you also look at as a more sensitive indicator sometimes of low testosterone. We give them testosterone. Sometimes they come back and I say, wow, you look great. Still taking that testosterone? They go, no, I went off it. And then we go, wow, you know, you look great. We check their testosterone because they are active and exercising and they've lost that gut. Then they don't require testosterone anymore. So it's just maybe a jump start for them. It's not they don't become dependent on it for life, which is ideal.
No, they don't. And the other big controversy, of course, is whether or not we can start to give our men with prostate cancer testosterone, which was certainly a big no-no.
Yes.
At least, you know, 10, 15
And you've been
years
a real
ago.
Pioneer never... in that field, yeah. I get a second opinion from you on a patient that I'm seeing, because a patient might benefit, but I say, gee, I really want you to see a urologist who's open-minded, and you've actually sometimes rendered a positive opinion on that. So tell us about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of the studies that have come out of Harvard and some of the other larger institutions now are saying that, especially in men that have these early low-risk cancers, that have low testosterone, that are hypogonadal, or going through male andropause, or whatever you want to call it, can benefit from testosterone replacement, and they have not seen any expansion or rising levels of their PSA or any progression of their prostate cancer on scans. Now, if someone has, you know, advanced prostate cancer where it has gotten into the bone, you know, I think it's pretty clear that those patients are not going to be able to get testosterone replacement back. It's not for them right now. But for the patients that still has cancer, that's early and not and considered low risk, or someone that was treated a few years ago, maybe a high risk, but treated and cured, and has low testosterone, those patients would be candidates for testosterone replacement therapy. Yeah.
So with men who either have low-grade prostate cancer, they're under active holistic surveillance, or men who are concerned about risk, maybe they have a borderline PSA, or men who have had some type of therapy, maybe they have radiation or they've had prostate surgery, cryosurgery, and they're concerned about getting it back. That's really what this Men's Health Seminar is targeted towards, men who are concerned about their prostates and their loved ones, of course, are welcome to come. But there are a whole lot of lifestyle interventions that make a difference, and there's actually science behind them. It's not just wishful thinking. Stress, exercise, diet have been actually shown to have an impact. So why don't you give us just a brief intro to that?
They certainly have, and they've had an impact not only on cancer but on urinary symptoms, on voiding dysfunction. And I can't tell you how often I hear that patients come back, and A, they're very thankful that they didn't have surgery or radiation as they were told to. This could be maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I'll see a patient, you know, yesterday, and I said, you know, remember 5 years ago they told you to have surgery? Oh yeah, Dr. Katz, can you imagine? Thank God I never had that, you know, and I feel so much better. My body feels better, you know, and I'm on this diet of, you know, we typically are recommending things, Ron, that are not surprising. I think I try to tell my guys what's good for the heart is good for the prostate, you know, so I do believe in omega-3s despite that one silly study that came out that didn't even look at omega-3 supplements. It looked at a blood test or a blood level in their body. But I do believe in omega-3 fish oils, and I like a low-fat diet, and I tell patients to reduce their sugar, stay off of red meat. Green leafy vegetables, kale, cauliflower, broccoli have all been shown in studies to be helpful for guys. I recently, this year's AUA, published a paper on the use of pomegranate juice or extract pills to slow down PSA, and I think that that's a wonderful way to incorporate some antioxidants as well as, you know, things that you can incorporate in your diet during the morning, all the berries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. I do believe in lycopenes. If you're not getting enough tomatoes and stewed tomatoes, tomato paste, you can certainly get a lycopene supplement. And I do still feel that soy is a great way to exchange for fats, and you know, it's a great source of protein. It's been shown in many studies to reduce prostate cancer growth, both in the lab and the clinical data. And so I try to, you know, have guys drinking soy milk and eating less dairy as well, which has also been shown. And not grilling the meat. There was a study that was published this year by Cleveland Clinic showing that if you eat red meat and you grill it on the barbecue and that black tar that those men actually had much more aggressive forms of prostate cancer. So all of this I put into a kind of a protocol for patients to follow. And they'll get a baseline MRI, they'll get genomic testing, we'll review their biopsy. And I think it also requires a motivated patient to go on active holistic surveillance, somebody that is going to really wants to change their life. And, you know, we also do talk about yoga and stress reduction and meditation. And I think all of that, the patients really do quite well. But it is good selection. We have much better ways now of selecting patients for this form of therapy. We can follow them well. I think the majority of these men will be spared any radiation or surgery.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, of course, during the conference, you'll be serving food that's that exemplifies some of these principles. It won't be coffee and donuts and, you know, and hero sandwiches. No?
No. We're going to try to go healthy this year. Yes.
Okay, good.
Very
okay.
Healthy for all of our attendees.
Because I might stick around for lunch.
Thank you for helping us, you know, promote it. It is our sixth year doing it. And we've got, you know, wonderful speakers like yourself. That will be coming and giving us a great day. So I'm sure it's going to be wonderful.
Okay, so once again, the call to action for today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, go to the website. What's that site? Men's Health Seminar?
It's menshealthseminar.com.
Perfect. Okay, and there you'll get all the information, the scheduling, and please get there early because I'm going to dish on integrative therapies for urological problems.
That's
so
right.
That'll be kicking off, I think, a day's worth of fine speakers. And I want to thank you very much for, you know, I know you got a busy schedule, but we want to get the word out.
Sure.
And also for, you know, our association has been a long one. I first met you when you were working at the Atkins Center. I mean, it was one.
That's right.
I mean, you worked part time at the Atkins Center, which I think back in the '90s was actually very daring. I think for urologists to be open minded
yeah.
enough to say, "Hey, I'm gonna hang out with this controversial guy, and I'm going
right.
to introduce innovative approaches to urological problems." And
yep.
you know, so you know, I kudos to you, and you stuck to your guns, and I think that you've been vindicated.
Thanks.
Fortunately, you've been.
Yeah, it's amazing that was almost 20 years ago. You know, Ron, it was like 1992 or 3, maybe 1994, you know, when I was just starting. And something like that, an exposure that I had at that integrative center, changed my life, changed my career. And I had no idea what I was just answering a phone call, and they said, "Come down, would you like to work at this integrative center? We have a lot of urology patients." It sounded interesting, and I was amazed to that patients down there that were taking nutrients and diet, something that I had no experience with, were doing extremely well with that approach. Whereas if I had seen them in my center up at Columbia, I would have been operating on them because that's how I was trained. There was no nutrition in my training. You know, I went through, like you, medical school, residency, fellowship. You know, there's just very little. We need to do a better job at educating our physicians. And I do give my hat off to Andy Weil and to Freddie Cronenberg and the University of Arizona for putting on this annual meeting for doctors to learn more and actually offer a fellowship for doctors in integrative medicine, which is fantastic.
Well, thanks to your pioneering work and the work of others influenced by you, I think we're really seeing inroads in integrative urology, and you know, more and more, this is just going to be a happening thing. So you're really on the cusp of
Absolutely.
A revolution. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Aaron Katz. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.